If you are a student of history, a reader of novels and newspapers, or a fan of jazz or country music, you probably know the name of Nat Hentoff, also a champion for civil rights, education, and civil liberties. He died earlier this year at the age of 91. Among those he left behind was his daughter, Jessica. She lives here in St. Louis and is well known in her own right as artistic and executive director of Circus Harmony here. Circus Harmony uses circus arts to inspire individuals, connect communities, and to motivate for social change. She's paying tribute to her dad this Friday at the Dotzak Theater in a production called Defying Gravity and Social Injustice, a tribute to Nat Hentoff. It will feature inspirational circus arts and, of course, jazz. Jessica, thanks for being with us.
Thank you so much for having me.
And our condolences, obviously. The loss of your father touched so very many people.
It's amazing how many people have told me he had a great influence and impact on their lives.
91 years, pretty good run.
Yeah.
It's a pretty good run. What do you think of as his legacy to you?
To me?
Yeah.
It was... Excuse me, the inspiration to make a difference, because his life certainly did. And it's what I try and do with my work. So what he did through writing, my tool is circus arts and the students that I work with at Circus Harmony. So where he wrote about telling stories, he told the stories so well of the jazz musicians or of whatever the subjects were of all his books and articles. What I do is I try and help the young people that I work with write their own stories instead of having their stories written for them because of where they live or the color of their skin or their religion.
We certainly want to get into more of that during the course of our conversation here. But in getting ready for this interview, I kept running across a quote which is attributed to Laurie Anderson. You're probably familiar with this, and that's from her World Without End. It's a song. The quote is this: when my father died, it was like a whole library had burned down. You know, I found that terrifically simple and yet very profound.
That resonated with me, and I've been using that as a signature on all my emails.
Yeah. So that's where that is where I saw it.
Probably.
What qualities did your father have, do you think, that he passed on to you?
My father was a mensch. That's a Jewish term, Yiddish term, really, that just means he was a great human. He was a man who was passionate. He was a man of complete integrity. And if he saw something that needed to be done, he just went out and did it. And I like to think that I have some of those same qualities. I know that I have the quality of stubbornness from him, which I've had described to me in different ways. He himself said that he was stiff-necked. So I'm certainly stiff-necked, obstinate. I am like a terrier. But that's how you get things done.
I was going to say, those aren't necessarily bad qualities.
No, not at all. And I attribute my workaholism to him. I work all the time because there's so much work to be done.
What did he think of your work in the world of circus arts?
So when I first started doing circus, I was a clown, and that was cute. When I started eating fire, he did not like that. And when I started to do aerial work, he adamantly did not like that and tried to talk me out of it. And then, in fact, I fell, and we didn't speak for a year. He was so furious with me. But eventually, he was actually sent by the Wall Street Journal to cover Circus Flora. St. Louis's own Circus Flora was performing in Saratoga Springs, and I was an aerialist there. And it was that article for the Wall Street Journal where he said that he didn't understand circus has an obsession, but he understood obsession, and he really understood the work I was doing and the beauty of the performance. But when I started doing social circus work, that he totally understood and was totally behind, and actually wrote a number of articles about it. One of his last articles, he wrote until this August. He had a syndicated column. And one of the last columns was about the work, the Peace Through Pyramids partnership with Israel, and the book about it called watch out for flying kids.
When you talk about obsession, he apparently had several obsessions. I mean, he was a Renaissance man in every sense of the word. He was all over the place in his interests and his activities.
Yes, except to him, they all connected seamlessly. Yeah. And so you start with jazz, and that led him into civil rights, which led to education, which led to civil liberties, which led back to jazz. To him, yeah, it was all one piece.
We have a clip I'd like to play that was actually made on this air, if you will, back in 2004. He was a guest on the program. I regrettably did not do the interview, but this was the time when the Patriot Act was being discussed, if you'll recall that, in conjunction with terrorism and the war in Iraq. It's very brief, but let's listen to what he had to say. He was a champion for free speech. Go ahead.
He was.
There is a terrible danger. What are we fighting for if not to protect who we are? And who we are in the, among other things, the first 10 amendments, the Bill of Rights to the Constitution.
There you go. You can hear the passion, even the emotion in his voice.
Absolutely. Thanks for playing that.
How does it make you feel to hear his voice again?
It's a combination. Yeah. I miss him more every day. And I think the world could really use his voice right now. Hmm. And at the same time, he really did a lot. He did a lot.
Well, was he a man, do you think, of some contradictions as well? I have some comments here from his obituary. But you go ahead and answer that, and I'll try to dig this up.
Well, yes and no. He went so far left, it was right. And so far right, it was left. And it was a continuum, the way he thought the sacredness of life was a continuum. So one of the biggest things was he was anti-abortion, and that in liberal circles, which people would try and peg him as a liberal, you couldn't peg him. He was iconoclastic.
Yeah. Here is what the New York Times wrote about him. It says, while his sympathies were usually libertarian, he often infuriated leftist friends with his opposition to abortion, his attacks on political correctness, and his criticism of gay groups, feminists, blacks, and others he accused of trying to censor opponents. He relished the role of provocateur, defending the right of people to say and write whatever they wanted, even if it involved racial slurs, apartheid, or pornography.
Free speech is free speech. To him, things were just very clear.
How are you going to translate this man and your tribute to him on Friday at the Dotzak?
So my work in itself is a homage to his work and trying to make the world a better place. The show is going to feature some of my current students from Circus Harmony and some of my former students. So two of the former students that are performing are actually two of his grandchildren. All three of my biological kids are circus performers. Keaton is performing in Europe with an Australian circus.
As if they had a chance to do anything else, right?
Well, they did, more or less. But they chose this. And yeah. So it's both not just the young people who are performing, but the music that they choose and the stories that their lives tell. So, for example, my son Kellen is one of the top 40 jugglers in the world. He's flying in from Montreal. And first he asked me what composer I thought he should perform to. And then he wrote back and said, never mind, I found the song. And he picked the song Groovin' for Nat, which was written for my father by Ernie Wilkins and is played by Dizzy Gillespie. Mm-hmm. Two young men who are flying in to perform who are from St. Louis, but currently touring the world with Seven Fingers, a contemporary circus company from Canada, in a show called Cuisine and Confessions, which is about people's personal stories and how food brings us together. Their personal story, the soundtrack to their act, is an interview done with them in 2014 before Mike Brown was killed. And their act is doing somersaults through hoops. And the hoops symbolize to them the hoops they had to jump through, the doors they had to go through to escape from St. Louis, because in the interview they talk about growing up African-American in St. Louis and just waiting to be the next person shot or arrested. And their story, they did get out, and they've now this year been to Argentina and Russia and Turkey and France and Spain, two kids from St. Louis who, because of the circus, they not only defied gravity, their acrobatics is amazing, but they defied all the limits that were put on them from where they grew up.
Where and when did it occur to you to tie issues of social justice, or justice, if you will, together with circus arts?
So like my father's work, it was a natural progression. Like he started with jazz, I started with circus. I loved circus from when I was 18 and now I'm 61. So you do the math. And it just appealed to me. It was like being Peter Pan to teach. And I performed also, but really the power of teaching and being able to sprinkle the magic circus dust on children and then they get to fly. So while I was teaching these kids, I saw that it was making a difference in their lives in other ways. Not only were they able to flip, fly, and fling, but they were getting more focused. They developed persistence, things that were hard for them before. They wanted so badly that they stuck to it. And they also had to develop teamwork. And these things just kept naturally expanding into when we got invited to Israel to share the work there, or using circus to bring people together, because we are all more alike than different. And in the circus, it's very easy to show that.
Trust, confidence, cooperation, and teamwork are absolute necessity in what you're doing. And all of this builds great qualities for those interactions, personal interactions, don't they?
Right. Whether the children go into circus or not as a profession, they really expand their horizons and build their own characters by doing the work that they do at Circus Harmony. It's been now since 1989 that I've been doing this here in St. Louis, and we keep in touch with a large, large number of the young people. So one of the places we're teaching at today is Ames Visual and Performing Arts Elementary School on the south on the north side of St. Louis. The fourth grade teacher there, she was one of the first of the St. Louis Arches.
Really?
And now she's a teacher. Yeah. It brings tears to my eyes to stand in her classroom and look at all these kids looking up to her.
You deal primarily with kids, but also adults can be part of it.
Sure.
As well. Do these folks find you or do you find them? How does that work?
Oh, that's an interesting question. It's a combination. We're based at City Museum. That's our home. And so literally over 85,000 people a year see our shows. Last year, we did over 500 shows at City Museum, other venues with Circus Flora. This is the first time we're performing at the Dot Zack, and I have to thank our honorary chairs, Ken and Nancy Kranzberg. This show came about because they were helping us raise money and attention because we've been invited to the Smithsonian Folklife Festival this summer to represent the region of the Midwest, to represent youth circus and social circus. So people find us because we're everywhere. But also sometimes I see people and I go, you should come learn juggling. Or maybe you'd like to try a clown class.
Well, and they respond well, I assume.
Generally.
I've got to take a break. We're talking with Jessica Hentoff. We're talking about a special performance that's going to be held later this week. We'll have more on that a little bit later. And it's a tribute to her father, Nat Hentoff, the late Nat Hentoff. We'll be back and continue our conversation in a moment. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Hello again and welcome back as we continue our conversation with Jessica Hentoff. I should point out that the show that I mentioned a few moments ago, here are details on that. It's a special show presented at the Dot Zack Theater. It's titled Defying Gravity and Social Injustice, a tribute to Nat Hentoff. Cocktails at 7 o'clock, Circus Harmony performance at 8 o'clock. It's going to be a full night. But it's not all circus. It's also music. Of course, it would have to be. What kind of music? Jazz, of course, but what can you add to that?
I tried to choose songs that were meaningful to my father. So certainly Duke Ellington is represented, Charlie Mingus. Those were two of his friends, but he had so many friends in the jazz world. We're using a song that Quincy Jones wrote for me when I was born called Jessica's Day, being played by Count Basie, Groovin' for Nat, as you heard. And then for the big acrobatic act, because we're finishing with the St. Louis Arches, Circus Harmony's performance troupe, I actually ended up choosing Benny Goodman's Sing, Sing, Sing. And Benny Goodman and my dad, they weren't as close as he was to many other musicians. But Benny called him when he needed a suggestion for a saxophone player. And in terms of the story, because I'm also using this to teach the kids who were performing, the flying children in the show, the whole concept of integration, jazz was huge for that. And it was Benny Goodman who started saying, I'm not going to play at your club unless I can use the musicians I want. And they happen to be black. And Sing 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 was played at Carnegie Hall in 1938. So this is all part of the story. Life is stories. And my dad did a great job telling other people's stories. And me sharing these stories with my children, my biological and my circus children, helps them as they write their own stories and go out in the world.
Who is performing the music?
We're using recording. So, yeah, I should give a shout-out to the Circus Harmony Band is amazing. It's under the direction of Adam Rugo. It has some of the best musicians in town, Aaron Lady, Matt Henry, Adam Huckey, and others. Some of them had other gigs. So we're trying to get a live component for part of the night, but primarily it'll be recorded music.
And you're raising money, and the money is to be used how?
So this is Circus Harmony is a nonprofit. I am always raising money. Heaven help you if you sit next to me on an airplane. This was primarily this night at the Dot Sack was a gift from Ken and Nancy to help us raise money to go to the Smithsonian Folklife Festival this summer, which they're supporting, and Wells Fargo Advisors is also supporting. But it's really, I want people to know about us, and it was not originally scheduled as a tribute to my father, but when he passed, it seemed a very natural thing to do. So, yes, it is also a fundraiser and a friend raiser and just an awareness raiser of the work of Circus Harmony, the work of my father, and how the two intertwine.
Tickets still available for Friday night?
I believe so, but they should order fast. The Dot Sack is a new theater. It's not very big, but it's very cool, and it's going to be a great evening.
We'll have information on our website, stlpublicradio.org, about that. We've got a caller who wants to get into this conversation. Let's bring in Jerry. He's calling from O'Fallon. Jerry, thanks for waiting. You're on the air.
Good afternoon, and my condolences to you, Santoff. I became a fan of your father's over 40 years ago when I was in high school and discovered the world of some of the classic jazz musicians that you just mentioned. And, of course, admired his work in that arena and then began to read more and more of his work regarding politics and essentially social justice and rights. And he was, as you describe, has been described here today, truly a Renaissance man and an original thinker. And there was really, I guess as his friend Duke Ellington would have said, he was beyond category.
Exactly.
And that's a tremendous loss. But anyway, I'm glad that this show is here to remind people or introduce people to his work and legacy. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
You know, Jessica, again, in getting ready for our discussion here, I was impressed by the number of young people whose really road of life was detoured, turned around, changed considerably by you. And there are a number of people that you've affected that way. Give me an example. And I know one youngster in particular has gotten a lot of attention in particular, and I want to get his name here. It's Sydney
Iking Bateman. One of the two young men at Sydney. Iking Bateman and Melvin Diggs are touring with Cuisine and Confessions. If you get on it right now, the closest they're coming to St. Louis, they're in Champaign-Urbana. And tonight, a large group of our kids are going up to see them there. They'll be in New York in April. The company is Seven Fingers. The show is Cuisine and Confessions. Iking at 14, and this is, if you go to our Facebook page or our YouTube page, you'll see the video of a short story about the impact of Circus Harmony on Iking's life. At 14, he was the oldest male in his family who was not dead or incarcerated in some way. And he is just turned 25. His birthday was just yesterday. And he's an internationally renowned circus star. And it was a struggle. And it's documented in that video, and it's documented in the show. But he's made it, and he's a tremendous inspiration to other kids. Whenever he's in St. Louis, he mentors the kids we have now. He's helping us choreograph the act that we'll be performing this June at Circus Flora. In fact, he's going to debut a new solo act of his own at Circus Flora. So he is certainly one.
What did he find in the circus arts that caused this turnaround? Was there an aha moment, a eureka moment?
Yeah. The eureka moment was the night he cut practice and was hanging out with a bunch of kids on his street, and there was a drive-by, and the kid next to him was shot. And he never cut practice after that. It really, and the kid didn't die, but it had a tremendous impact on him that he had choices, and his choices could lead him down different paths. And he chose circus, and it's been an amazing adventure for him.
Have there been a lot of Sydneys in your life?
Yes, a lot, never enough, and always room for more. We're always looking for new students. So if you know of anybody, in fact, schools call me, social workers or neighbors call me about, oh, so-and-so loves to flip, and could he come and take class for you? And so we always have room for potential circus stars or just people that whose lives will be better if they work with us, the way my father tried to make people's lives better.
I don't want to digress, but our time is winding down. But is circus itself a dying art?
No, just because Ringling is closing. People should know Ringling took the word circus out of their title years ago. So it's tragic that they're closing. It would be a whole other show for me to talk about that. But no, circus is not at all a dying art. Circus has been around since there are ancient Egyptian hieroglyphics of people juggling, people tumbling over bulls, and cave paintings on Crete. So circus has been around for a while, and circus is evolving. There are still tent circuses touring. There are still elephants working with humans the way dogs work with humans and horses work with humans. And circus is very much alive, and you could come to the .Zac, the show that Circus Harmony is putting on, Defying Gravity and Social Injustice, this Friday, or come and see any of our shows at City Museum, and you'll see circus is soaringly alive.
And very quickly, the future of Circus Harmony, what's on the agenda?
Our ongoing shows, we have summer camps, we have our performance with Circus Flora. We're very excited to be at the Smithsonian Folklife Festival. Come see us on the National Mall, June 29th to July 9th.
Jessica Hentoff, thank you so much for being with us. It's been great talking to you. Good luck on Friday night. I hope you have a full house. You mentioned that your son is one of the top jugglers in the world and that he's performing Groovin' for Nat, performed by Dizzy Gillespie. Let's end our session with that.
Perfect.